Good Thursday. Today is May the 29th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, anytime we use a different technology too much, there's a chance that the pest can become resistant to it. That's also the case with soybean cyst nematode. We're going to wrap up our visit with Dr. Horacio Lopez-Nacor today, talking about different SCN resistance packages and tolerance. We'll be back with the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're joined again this morning by Dr. Horacio Lopez-Nacor, OSU Extension soybean pathologist and nematologist. Dr. Lopez-Nacor, yesterday we left off talking about soybean cyst nematode resistance packages out there, some of the different tolerances that can be developed, and why it's important we identify the type of SCN that we have in our field.
When we are dealing with high level of soybean cyst nematode in our field, and we want to be very precise in our management strategy. So unfortunately, the soybean cyst nematode, the population we currently have that is more prevalent in Ohio and in the United States, was able to adapt and reproduce on the most commonly used source of resistance in soybean, which is PI88788. Most of our population in Ohio can reproduce above 10% compared to a susceptible on PI88788. What does that mean? Well, I have a field with a population that has, we call it a female index because it's the female that we count, of 80% on 88788, right? On this source of resistance that is very common. That means that that population was able to, at the end of one generation, compared to a susceptible soybean, reproduce 80% on PI88788, which means that that source of resistance is really not resistant anymore. So in these cases, you know, understanding the type of population of nematode we have will help us select the source of resistance that we will use. There are other sources of resistance that are now more available in the market, such as Peking, for example. So if I know that my population can reproduce on PI88788, I will probably use a soybean cultivar with Peking source of resistance because my population cannot reproduce on Peking. And in one generation, not only I may improve my yield, but I will also reduce the population of the nematode in my field. Now, because we should learn from our mistakes, history should always teach us how to proceed in a long term and in the future, right? We shouldn't be using consistently, consecutively, the same source of resistance on our population. Because if we use Peking one season, we notice a high yield, we notice that we reduce the levels of soybean cyst nematode in the field, and we say, well, I'm not planting anything else but Peking from now on, we will unfortunately exert a selection pressure in that population, and we are going to shift the virulence profile of that population to one that will reproduce on Peking and on PA88788. And that will definitely reduce the tools that we have for managing soybean cyst nematode. So there is evidence that Peking may shift the virulence faster. So a lot of caution. It's great. It works great. It's a great way to implement in a series of rotations and integrated management approach, but avoid the use of it consecutively over time.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more with Dr. Horacio Lopez-Nacor after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're back with Dr. Horacio Lopez-Nacor, OSU Extension soybean pathologist and nematologist, talking about ways we can have an integrated approach so that we don't develop more resistance with soybean cyst nematode.
So the SCN Coalition, that website, has a nice infographic of a six-year integrated management approach that we recommend for managing soybean cyst nematode. Keep in mind always that we want to always sample our field. Even if we know we have soybean cyst nematode, we want to monitor those numbers. We want to know that whatever we're doing, keeping those numbers in check, or we're actually lowering those numbers. We want to rotate to a known host. Very easy in Ohio. We're doing a great job already there, right? We can, you know, we plant corn, wheat, grasses. Those are known hosts to soybean seeds nematode, will not allow the nematode to reproduce and can actually reduce the population. We want to rotate sources of resistance. We don't want to feed the nematode with the same genetic material because the nematode will quickly adapt and reproduce on that. So we want to rotate sources of resistance. We want to even rotate variety. Don't stick with the same genetic material. You're training that animal, because the nematode is an animal, mm-hmm. to reproduce on that. And then we want to consider a seed protectant. There are other multiple pathogens there. It's not only soybeans, it's nematode. We want to protect yield at any cost. So we will want to consider a seed protectant as well. And that we put together in a nice infographic in the SCN Coalition, where we have year one, use a PI88, SEN88, very easy to get. Year two, you move to a corn production, a non-host. Year three, maybe a picking is a different source of resistance that we did before. Following that, we can do soybean again with PI88, SEN88. So we have a nice proposal there for a long-term management approach for SCN. So SCNcoalition.com, a good resource to visit.
That makes a lot of sense, and it's nice that you do have that integrated management approach laid out that folks can really take it and apply it to their own farms, and great resources there, both with the SCN Coalition and, as we talked about earlier, the Crop Protection Network, just that farmers have all those tools at their fingertips.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we're always welcoming new suggestions. Like I mentioned, the survey is a nice way to capture relevant questions that our growers have that we should be investigating. We as extension specialists, as researchers, we should be conducting research that is relevant to our soybean growers.
And again, that survey can be found at the Crop Protection Network. If you just Google that, follow the links, it will take you there. Well, again, my guest today is Dr. Horacio Lopez Nicora. He's our soybean pathologist and nematologist here in Ohio. Dr. Nicora, thanks so much for your time, all the work, and great information. We'll be sure to continue to follow all the articles you have in the Corn Newsletter. And again, we would encourage folks, if they are scouting for those soybean diseases, seedling diseases, to send in samples to the lab so you can better identify and know what that pathogen actually is, and make the appropriate management decisions with seed treatments moving forward. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.